Hey, back on Downtown Tuesday afternoon, let's talk basketball. NBA free agency is here. John Corrales joins us from Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. And John, we know this much so far. It's good to be Evan Fournier.
Yeah, Evan Fournier off to the Knicks, making almost $20 million a year. It's a four-year deal, but the team is a team option on that final year. So maybe just be a three-year deal, but he's getting the money in that range that he wanted, much more than the Celtics were willing to pay, I think both in terms of years and in dollars. So, hey, good for Fournier. You go out there, you work, you get that bag, as they say.
Well, you wrote a really terrific piece posted earlier today to Boston Sports Journal. The Celtics have a plan, clearly, but it's a bit of a tightrope walk for Brad Stevens.
Yeah, look, it's pretty clear what the Celtics are trying to do. They're not going to give a player multiple years right now. They're not going to extend anybody. I don't think they're going to extend Marcus Smart. They're not going to extend Robert Williams. They're going to give themselves as much flexibility as they can to have maximum cap space next summer. And when that is, the goal, then that comes with some pitfalls. And the most obvious one is, when you're preparing to have max cap space, when you're very obviously chasing one player, it's Bradley Beal. There aren't many other guys next summer that are going to be available at that price range. You better hope that he's coming, because if he's not, then everything was for naught. And it'd be interesting to see if it's possible for Brad Stevens to pivot. You're asking Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to sort of carry on through an empty year. They're clearly not trying to be contenders. They're clearly not trying to win a championship. And these are guys who are young, just about entering their prime, and to waste essentially a year of their, them at the primes, their height of their powers, it's asking a lot, because they know what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on. You just want to make sure that they are on board with the plan, because if the plan doesn't come through, then you risk those guys saying, all right, that was not what I wanted. I don't want to be part of a team that's going to be wasting years of my basketball life, and I might want out of here. So if they get Bradley Beal through all of this, then great. If they don't, then they really risk some potential serious repercussions.
Have the moves they made so far already left them in a better financial position?
Yeah, I mean, once the Tristan Thompson deal goes through, they're going to end up being under the luxury tax. So I don't know what they're going to want to do beyond that. I think they can easily clear some cap space if they need to, if they wanted to sign another player and use that taxpayer mid-level. They're certainly not going to use the full mid-level, I don't think. But hey, who knows? There's potential for a surprise. If they don't think they're going to be pulling off a trade, maybe they go 1 year with a full mid-level on somebody and go at least stronger this year and say, hey, we're going to put a team together that we know it's not going to be our team next year, but we'll give you a 1 year. We'll at least give you guys something to play with. And so it's not a completely lost year, but right now financially they've accomplished a lot of their goals.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. How about the guys they've picked up recently? What are the odds of either or both Chris Dunn and Josh Richardson staying?
Well, Chris Dunn's an interesting one because he could be one of the guys that goes in order to clear some money. I mean, $5 million, when they're under the tax, you get rid of him. Now you can sign somebody else in that range that might be a little bit more helpful. If that's the case, then so be it. But if he stays, then you've got yourself a bigger guard that's defensive-minded, that can go out there and at least make some passes, run an offense. Not going to shoot well. He's not going to score a ton, but he can play defense and he can run your offense off the bench and give you some size if Peyton Pritchard is going to be targeted defensively. And then Josh Richardson is an interesting case because he's another guy that can give size and defense off the bench. Maybe become a 3-and-D guy if he can get back to the Miami days of his abilities. But if he's not going to get to that point, then I'm questioning exactly how much he's going to fit. But there's a potential there for him to be a kind of revelation of a signing, and maybe the Celtics have something there.
What does this team need, John, to be, I don't know, let's say moderately competitive in the coming season?
Well, they need Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to be their best. They need Aaron Nesmith to progress. They need Romeo Langford to progress. They're going to need Marcus Smart to be, you know, comfortable in his situation. Now, I think they're going to ask him to be the starting point guard, but he sees the writing on the wall. Well, I think he understands that this might be his last year in Boston, and I don't know how that's going to impact him. Is he going to go off and try to raise his value? This is one of the inherent risks of doing what they're doing. Then maybe they want to try to keep him and say, hey, look, we can't extend you right now. We want to extend you, but we have to do this little delicate salary cap dance. This doesn't mean that you're gone, but by not extending him, it could mean that he's gone. And he could be at the centerpiece of a trade. He might say, well, it's nothing new for me. I've been in trade rumors my whole career. But I think Marcus Smart is kind of one of the keys now all of a sudden, where if he's going to be the starting point guard, is he going to run the team and do what the team needs, or is he going to do what he needs?
Do you think this was the plan even before the departure of Danny Ainge?
I don't know that was going to be Danny Ainge's plan. I think this is Brad Stevens' plan. I think this is the reversal of some of the things that Ainge had done. I don't know if Ainge would have gone this level, this extreme. I think this is, you know, ownership saying, we're going in this direction, and we're gonna make this move now that we've got a new front office. That's just speculation on my part, though.
Free agency day two, Celtics have been quiet so far. Are they still interested in some of those former Celtics like Kelly Olynyk, Jeff Green, others that have been mentioned?
No, I think they are what they are right now. I think everybody's starting to come off the boards. Olynyk has now gone to, you know, Detroit. Jeff Green is now off to Denver. I think there might be an Avery Bradley in there, but anybody that they might be interested in, I don't think it has to do with whether they're a former Celtic or not. I think anybody that they're interested in has to be ready to play for one season, and that's it. Or if it's a two-year deal, it has to be a team option, because the Celtics, like I said before, it's all about maintaining that cap flexibility.
Hey, it's early still, but who do you think has improved themselves the most in the first couple of days of free agency?
Well, you got to look at Miami. You got Kyle Lowry. You re-upped Jimmy Butler, a max deal there. You got PJ Tucker. I think they did themselves, a good job right there. They might be the biggest winner in my book. There are a few teams out there that are still kind of like, I'm not sure. The Lakers, I'm not sure about. And I'm really interested in the Detroit Pistons, oddly. They've got young players, but they've put veterans around them. I think it's an interesting kind of contrast to what, like, Oklahoma City is doing. And maybe they can do it because they got themselves Cade Cunningham and they got their franchise guy, but they're adding these veterans around their youth. And I don't know that they'll be good, but I feel like they'll be interesting.
Sometimes it's better to be interesting than good if you have to pick one of the two. And as you mentioned, after the draft last week, the Celtics apparently continuing their mission to get every player from the French League somewhere in their system.
Yeah, yeah, but this one's a draft and stash, and we'll see. You know, anybody that's French has, a visa that goes directly to Boston. And you can only play for a short amount of time. Like, it doesn't bode well for any other French players that they draft. You come in and you go out. It's very quick.
Interesting times for the Celtics and the NBA. John, we appreciate it as always, and we'll visit with you again next week.
All right, I'll talk to you later.